sola, la masuco. Lord, we would ask that you would just come and manifest yourself in our midst. Lord, we would just ask that you would heal physical ailments. Lord, even as your spirit moves and touches individuals, we do not want to limit what you do to the physical, to that which can be seen. But Lord, we'd ask that you would go deep within our hearts and you would touch our hearts as well. And the things that are broken and out of place and not correct within us, that you would begin to restore those things and put them in a right order. Lord, that where there is need for forgiveness, we would ask that your grace would just flood our heart to release individuals and let them go and not hold them accountable anymore, that you would give us grace to forgive. Walking, Lord, with you is so wonderful and is so very good. As long as we are together corporately this morning, Lord, continue to work in our lives. Let your Spirit just be on us and in us and through us. Not only so that you can do your work that you have and that you desire upon us, but so that, Lord, that your Spirit can use us for you and your purpose. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. It is so good to know that the Lord is alive and well. Amen. 40 years ago, when I was a young man of age 15, the Lord saved me. Amen? Give the Lord a hand clap. You know, when I was a young man, there came a point in my life in which the way I was living my life was externally was okay, but what was going on the inside was a mess. And I was a different person on the inside than I was on the outside. And finally, when I was 15 years old, I gave my heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm here to testify that God has been so good to me in the last 40 years. I can say with David that he has never forsaken me, that God has always been with me. It's not always been the easiest time. There's been times of struggle, but in every day of my life, God has been with me. And some days you're more conscious of that than other days as you walk through your days. But you look back and you see that God was with us. He was with me, you know, and has been for 40 years. And I just praise him for that. And where's Ray at? Is he already skipped out? Ray Heist? Oh, he's in the nursery. Okay, well, somebody go get Ray for me. Tell him I have a word for him. And anybody, while we're waiting for Ray, anybody have, hey, come here, Jim. God saved you too, didn't he? Can I come testify in one way that God saved you? You know, there's many ways that God saves us. Amen? And tell us how God saved, one way that God saved you.
Well, he delivered me from alcohol for one thing.
I was alcoholic. Amen.
Almost 30 years.
Amen. Praise God.
And, I haven't had a drink now for almost 25 years. But he's been present in my life every day. there's not an hour goes by during the day that he's not number one in my life.
Amen.
I haven't got the word. I've tried to thank him. You know, you look for the Lord and you see what all he's done for you. You know, I've asked him, Lord, give me the words, give me the way that I can thank you. I appreciate God leading me to this church, to you people. You're precious in my sight.
Amen.
And I love every one of you. And I pray for y'all, and I appreciate y'all's prayer.
Amen.
And there's some things going to happen in this church. It's going to blow all the minds. The Lord's going to move among us like we never dreamed.
Amen. Amen. We'll receive that.
And we're going to see the hand of the Lord. We're going to see the work among us. I was driving from Fort Worth. I was working in Fort Worth. I was driving down to Humble. And I remember exactly where I was at. I just came through Lake Dallas. And the Holy Spirit starts. And he starts speaking on love. And I drove for an hour and a half, and it was just a constant. I didn't know the word that well, but he brought it in scripture, in line, and it was the most beautiful thing I've ever had. And when that love is in this church, I mean, he shed, the love of God is shed abroad. Everybody's heart here. And he says to wake it up. And it's going to flow through everybody here.
Amen.
And it's going to be, I mean, you can't wait to get here in a single day. And this love that he's given us. And we're going to see it. We're going to walk in it. And you might as well be ready.
Amen. That's a good word.
Well, I just want everyone of you here to know, I love you. Wherever I see you, if something's on my mind, I don't notice you, you're near this one thing. I love you. If you need anything that I can help you with, you just let me know. I'll do that.
Amen. Thank you, Jim. Somebody else want to testify real quick? Oh, yeah, two. Come on. Come on, George. You can stand next to Andy, and that way everybody will see how small you are and how short you are. But, yeah, short physically, that is.
George is a giant in the kingdom of God.
Giant in the kingdom of God. Amen. Go for it.
I had dinner with an old friend Thursday night, a guy named Todd Thomas. And I wasn't sure how it was going to go because I met Todd back in the early 90s, late 80s. I'm not sure exactly when it happened. But he got saved in a hospital with a divine experience. If he hadn't, he would have died. And he had a drug problem. He had a sex problem. He had problems too numerous to count. And we got connected up, and he came over to our house for about a year. He told me years later that half the time he came over, he was high on something. And God spared me from the revelation of understanding that because I probably would have kicked him out of the house. But he kept coming. And about all I could leave him with is, you know, Todd, are you in the Word? Are you reading the stuff? You got to get your spirit, man, built up. You got to get this stuff in your heart and your spirit. Todd's an artist, and he's a musician. He's a very good artist, and he's a good musician. And I'm trying to tell a little bit of story, because if I just told you the brief testimony, it wouldn't mean anything. But, you know, a number of years ago, I said, Todd, I said, you're doing all this contemporary rock Christian music, but I feel like the Lord's speaking in my heart that you need to explore his worship. Worship him in your music. I just believe God has something special for you. You have to understand, Todd is on permanent disability, and he's had two heart surgeries. We talk from time to time, and I just cry out to God, because I don't have anything I can offer him, because some of the stuff he's been through, my faith is just challenged to the nth degree, because he's, to me, his situation's been impossible so many times. And we're having dinner, his treat, which kind of scared me a little bit, but I was going to let him bless me, because that's what he wanted to do. And so he said, Andy, he said, I think I'm finally getting it. He said, the Lord's moving me to worship. He said, I've been working on this album, and he says, I've been wanting to get it finished. And he said, I put a little donation bucket on my website thing, and he said, a local studio donated a free $350 session to my website, and I can finish it, and I can get on with worship. And he said, I really am beginning to see. He had an experience here about a month ago, 6 weeks, 8 weeks ago, and it turned him around, and he began to see that it's all about Jesus and not about him. And it's a breakthrough in his life, and I can see a difference, and it's awesome. And the thing that came to mind was in Matthew chapter 10, verse 42, it says, and whoever gives one of these little ones only a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, assuredly I say to you, he shall by no means lose his reward. And then up in verse 41, above it, it says, he who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward, and he who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. I felt like I was supposed to share that, because our conversation when we went over to his apartment Thursday evening, we caught up on all the stuff, and then he said, Andy, listen to this praise and worship music. And I don't know how long we listened to worship music, but we listened to it together. And he's turned a corner in his walk. And before I could leave, he said, look, I want to give you something. I said, but Todd, he says, no, I just want to do this. And he gave me two big old pictures. You know, if you stand them on the floor, they're about this tall, and they're huge. They're framed. I can't afford to go buy a picture like that, okay? But he's an artist. And that cup of cold water a long time ago, the artist, I honored him as an artist for whatever he was. And I got an artist reward. But what the real reward was, is he's turned a corner, and he's worshiping God, and he's not bound by a lot of the things in his past. He's getting more and more free all the time. And that, to me, is the real reward. And when I say I felt helpless when I prayed for him at times because of the desperation of his circumstances, I just cry out to God. I say, God, if you don't show up for Todd, there just isn't anything there for him. Because he's not going to make it. He is going to be on the street, or he's going to be dead if you don't show up. And God shows up. Even when we're not faithful, he really is.
I'm always glad to share the space that I'm not using with the big people. Like Doug. But I really asked God why he made so short people and so tall people. So he said, look at you, I make you so short and cute, Look at that. And look, Doug, I make his so big and big. my testimony is, last week, the father that the lady that my wife worked for, he was in the nursing home and he got a very bad infection and he went to the hospital, and the doctor said we need 42 or 48 hours to find what kind of infection he had, and he cannot live all this time, he going to die. And we went there and we pray for him, and next 42 or 48 hours the infection is gone, he alive, he's strong, he come back to so the doctors don't have the last word. Yeah. Also, the father friend of mine, I met him, and he was very sad and upset, and I asked him what happened. He got a kind of health problem, and he had to go to the doctor, and probably he going to have the surgery. And when I got to home, I shared it with my wife, and we pray for him. And last Friday, I meet him again. They ask him what the doctor said. He said, I didn't go to the doctor because all the pain disappear, all the things disappear. I don't feel nothing more. Yeah. And one more thing, I'm praying for my father, and I think you need the help of yours, as we are body of Christ. My father, he's in depression. And he is not a believer. He believes in the things very strange and does not come from God. We had the two old trees in the front of our house, and the very beautiful trees. And somebody said to him, for him get out of depression, he had to cut those trees. And he carried that old trees, and the depression is still there. So he looked for wrong advice for the people, and we need to pray for him. And I have been praying for him very hard, but I think I need your help. If you can help me pray for him, and I want to share the scripture. In Psalms 142, 2 and 3, the Lord said, I pour out my complaints before him. Before him I tell my troubles. When my spirit grows faint within me, it is you who know my way in the path where I walk. May have hide a snare for me. If you don't understand this, Psalm 142, 2 and 3. Thank you.
George, what is your father's name?
Candido.
Okay, we'll just refer him to George's father. Okay, Joan, would you pray for George's father? And we'll join with you. Yeah, come up here. And we're just going to pray that the spirit of depression will leave him and his heart will be opened to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he'll say yes to Jesus.
Amen. Father God, your word declares that we're far from oppression or depression, and fear does not come near us. We bind in the name of Jesus the spirit of oppression and depression.
Yes.
George's father right now, in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
We declare that no weapon formed against him can prosper.
Yes.
I thank you, George has stood in the gap for his father for all of these years. You've heard every prayer. You've collected all of his tears. And Father, I just thank you now is the time of salvation.
Yes.
You've declared in your word that you died that all might be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. So, Father God, I'm asking right now in the name of Jesus for you to surround his father with faith and love. Father, let that depression go now in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
And let love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control be surrounding him right now.
Mm-hmm.
Let him know that you are an ever-present help in time of need. And all he needs to do is call upon the name of the Lord, and he shall be saved. We thank you, Father God, for every person here. We thank you as we go through the weeks. We will be lifting up George's father. And Father God, I thank you that it's already done in the spirit realm. But Father, we'll rejoice and we'll praise you for the work that is a finished work in George's father. He'll not go out of this world not saved. We declare
yes,
him saved.
Yes. Yes.
Whole.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Complete, undamaged, and intact.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus, with the blood of Jesus. We apply that blood to him right now, upon him, within him, around him, between him and all evil. And the author of evil, and we declare that blood ministers defeat to every evil work of the enemy. It is finished, the Lord says. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. We agree with that. Thank you, George. Well, praise God. How many need to be saved today? How many need salvation? Yeah. We all do. Everybody should raise their hands on that one. That was not a trick question. It's kind of like, you know, when the Israelites, you know, were delivered from Egypt and they got set free and they got saved from slavery and from bondage, and they're out, they're in freedom. Amen? But, you know, we find that once they get into the wilderness, they need saved every day. Every day they need God to come and do something for them, or else they're going to perish. You know, after a while, you know, they ran out of food. And so God, every morning, had manna come down, and there it is, God's provision. And every day they needed that, because you know, at first, you know, God said, now listen, don't go out there and just hoard this stuff and collect it for, this is going to be your daily bread. And so go out there, and every day they would go out there, but the ones who gathered a whole bunch, you know, and they're going to, man, we're going to stockpile this. These are the thrifty ones who are thinking down the road a little bit. We're smart, man. We're covering all of our bases. We're going to get a whole bunch of this stuff and stockpile it. So when everybody else runs out, we'll have stuff. And the next day they go to get their stuff that they've saved up, and it's got maggots in it. Have you ever wanted to eat maggot-infested food? Yeah. Well, some of you, have you ever eaten maggot-infested food?
Yeah.
Yes. Was it good?
No.
Okay. Oh. You didn't go back for seconds, did you?
No.
Yeah, you threw it away. Yeah. Every now and then, if you have bread sitting in your house for a long time and all of a sudden it starts, green stuff grows on it. Yeah. And you, oh, man, this is the best bread ever. It's got green stuff on it. You know, actually, you throw it in the trash because you don't eat moldy stuff. You know, and so that's what they found. You know, when they tried to hoard this their daily bread, and so we're going to make it last 2 days. God said, don't do that because it's going to get moldy and they'll get maggot infested and it won't be any good. And so the only day that they were allowed to do that was on the day before the Sabbath. And miraculously, God would sustain their bread for this, their Sabbath day, so they would not have to go out and collect the bread on the Sabbath day. But man, as soon as they collected more than what they needed for the Sabbath day, that next portion on Monday or on their Sunday, it was moldy again. And there's a lesson for that. You know, every day, the Israelites understood something, that we need God to save us. We tend to think in our Christian understanding, we tend to think in terms of, I have been saved, and it's a one-shot deal, and it took effect way back then, in my case, 40 years ago, and I'm saved. And yet the Bible tells us to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. So how do you work out your salvation with fear and trembling if we're already saved? Well, you know, when we were worshiping and to the song Salvation Comes, salvation came to the Hebrew children when they left Egypt on their three-day journey to begin to go out into the wilderness to worship God. Salvation came that day. But salvation came when they were trapped between the Red Sea and the Egyptian army, and God opened up the sea and they walked through the sea. Salvation came that day and they rejoiced in that. But salvation came when they were thirsty and they were dying of thirst and they were crying out to God, and God told Moses to strike that rock with your staff and water will come from that rock. And so when Moses struck that rock, salvation came that day to the Israelites. And then when they ran out of food and God began to provide the manna day after day, salvation came to the Hebrew people through the manna. And what we see for 40 years, it says that their shoes did not wear out, their clothes did not wear out, and salvation came in the sense that the provision for what they needed was met and supplied by God. So every day of their life, salvation was coming to them and they could see it in very tangible ways. And sometimes we forget that we need saved every day. We need God to show up every day of our life. And one of the real tragedies for Christians is when we attempt to live on yesterday's bread. And we come along and we attempt to live on what God did yesterday or last week. And when we tend to live on what happened last year, or if I would tend to live on what happened 40 years ago, my Christianity ceases to be vibrant. It becomes stale, filled with maggots, and is unattractive to everybody. Because bottom line is, we don't want a historical God who we look back to and we say, well, remember when God did this. We want a God who is present and real and moving and alive in our world and in our life today. That's what separates Christianity from all the other religions in the world, is we say that we have a God who is alive. Amen. And if our God is alive, then we make a mockery of that statement when we go back and we try to live on yesterday's stuff. Oh, before I forget, Ray, my word to you is, when you got up and you shared, your little daughter said that you were the rock in her life. And that is a true statement. But I tell you that you are only a rock in your child's life as long as you stand on the rock of Jesus Christ. Because He is your rock. And as you stand there, you will always be a rock as you stand upon the rock of Jesus Christ. You know, we are who we are because of what Jesus Christ has done in us. It is not that we are self-made men. We are, God has made us. God has saved us. Amen? Turn with me in your scriptures. In the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 4, we're going to look at something just real quickly. And Lord, help us to change the way we see some things and think about some things and process things. And in Matthew chapter 4, it's a story of Jesus right after his baptism. It begins in verse 1, and it says, Jesus then, this is right after the baptism of Jesus, it says, then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. And Jesus answered, it is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Amen? Now, let's just, there's two thoughts that I'd like to share on this. Number one, it says, then the Spirit of God led Jesus into the wilderness or into the desert. Okay, so God is involved in this process. This isn't just Jesus just happened to be in the wilderness. He was led, the Spirit of God, and really the Greek, the sense of the Greek on being led by the Spirit is he was prompted almost in that sense of, I got to do this thing. I don't have this choice. It's just this urging within. So he's led by the Spirit into the desert. It says to be tempted by the devil. And we, in the English language, when we use that word tempted, it's almost always consistently used in a negative or a bad meaning. And the Greek word, when it's translated tempted here, can also be used as a word instead of tempted to be tested. And when it's used in the sense of being tested, it's always used in a good sense or a positive sense. And so the real issue then of how you can tell whether this event is a temptation or I'm being tested, one is good and one is bad, one is intended for good and one is intended for evil, you know, how you can determine that, it depends on who is involved. Okay? And in this case, we've got two people involved. We've got the devil involved because he's bringing the temptation, but we also have the Spirit of God involved because the Spirit of God is leading Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Okay? So we can say at one point that Jesus is being tempted to sin. And if he sins, to become this imperfect sacrifice. And so the whole sacrifice of Jesus Christ, that whole concept goes out the window because he is no longer perfect. He's no longer sinless. And that's what the devil was trying to do, but God is trying to also do something because it wasn't as if he's avoiding the devil. He was led by the Spirit of God to go into the wilderness for 40 days. And the devil comes along to tempt him. Sometimes we need to understand that this word, you could also say this is Jesus' testing because God will test us to prove to us what is in us. So when the Bible taught, and there's another Greek word that's used for testing that's always used in a good way, and so like in 1 Peter 1:7, it talks about that your faith, which is more important than gold, which is tested by gold being put into, it's refined in the fire. He says your faith is even greater than gold, but your faith is tested. God tests us. It says that God tested Abraham with the whole sacrificing Isaac scenario. It's not that God tempted him to sin because he was intending something bad to happen, but it was how far are you going in your allegiance to me and your obedience to my word spoken to you. And so just this whole concept of temptation then. What we call temptation oftentimes, we call it temptation in the English language. It's not meant to make us sin. It's meant to enable us to conquer sin. Sometimes we give the devil too much credit and, oh, the devil is just after me. And oftentimes God will allow certain situations to come in our into our life to test us. Not so that we will sin, but so that we can conquer sin in our life. Oftentimes in the, we would think always in terms of that temptation is meant to weaken us. It actually is meant to strengthen us. Make us stronger or finer or purer. It's not to make us bad. It is meant, testing is to make us holy in God's sight. We talk about the Isaiah 48 tells, you know, the Lord says to Isaiah, he says, I am not going to share my glory with anybody else. No other person gets my glory. Jesus comes along and he says this in John 17. He says, Father, the glory that you have given to me, I have given it to your children. So the glory that God put on Jesus, Jesus turns right around and gives it to you, Austin. Now, Isaiah says God does not share his glory with another. And Jesus says, I just give the Father's glory that is given to me. I give it to you. You are a glory bearer. That means that we are one with God. Because he doesn't share it with somebody, some other. Now, this whole concept when I say, when God says, I do not share my glory with another, it's a that word another is, give me those pins. Thank you. I'll give them right back to you. This is illustration. This is a pin. And this is a pin. They are both pins. They look differently than each other. They're not identical, but they're both pins. And so in the biblical language, when it talks about another, it can be another of a same kind or another of something totally different kind. So, somebody have a pencil. Is that a pencil? Kind of looks like a pen, but it's actually a pencil. Okay, so these are two writing instruments, but they are different kinds of writing instruments. One is lead and one is ink. God says, I will not share my glory with another, something of a different nature or different kind. Okay? So Jesus comes along and he says, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, and your glory has been given to me, I turn around and give your glory to those who come after me. He shares his glory with another of the same kind. So that means you're not just something other. You're special because you have the nature of God dwelling within you. And so God comes and he saves his children time and time again. And so, but if God, if I am God's child and God is working in me, then he is always going to be preparing my life for something down the road. And we've talked about this concept before, is that the experiences I'm going through today, I tend to think of, God, this is for today, and thank you for meeting with me today. But God is already thinking, but hey, there's a day coming in which what I'm doing and establishing in your life today through these testings, which most time we would say temptations, but God is testing us to really simply prepare us for the future event that he has in mind for us. And when we get to that future event, we find that, oh, well, this is it. But God is using that event to prepare us for something down the road. Again. So God never takes us and puts us in a position in which we're going to fail. He's going to prepare us so that we will succeed in that. Amen? And so just understand this whole idea of temptation. It depends on who's involved in it. Well, God says to Jesus in Matthew 4, God says that he's involved because the Spirit of God led Jesus into the wilderness. So it was a testing just as much as there was temptation. There's testing within it. So So when we face situations in our life, we kick in Romans 8:28. Therefore, there is now, or not, that's Romans 8:1 and 2. It's for we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. And we kick that verse in. How can we say that? Because we know that God is with us and God is involved in our lives, and no matter what the devil will do, no matter what the enemy will come and bring against us to bring a bad result, God says, I'm at work in that very process to bring a good result about. So it's not just always, oh, look, oh, poor, pitiful me, look what I'm going through. It's no, look what God is doing in my life. Look how he is testing me. Look what he's developing, the character that he's putting and developing in me, so that in the future, whatever it may be, whatever God sends me to, I will be equipped. Okay? So we've got to look at this like this. Or else we just think, oh, we just run from the devil. So now kick in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. And it's one of those verses that you all memorized when you the first month that you were saved. Right? Well, maybe some of you did. 1 Corinthians 10:13. First month that I was saved, I memorized this one because of the book that I, the discipleship book I was going through, you had your different memory verses, and so this was one of them. And so it says this. Praise God, no temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, you will also he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. So we tend to think in temptation, oh, I'm being tempted. And God says, but listen, that tempting is the same word that is used in Matthew chapter 4. It's a testing. And he said, the devil will come along and tempt you to sin, but there's a testing of your character involved in this. To see what is in your heart. To see what is deep down, where you really live. Because most of us can do a pretty good job of controlling the external way that we live and present ourselves to the world. But God looks at the heart, and he sees what is in there. So he says, I'm going to test your heart. So you see what's in there. God already knows, but he's testing us so that we can see what's in there. And when we see that it's moldy and corrupt and maggot-filled, well then, God, I don't want that. I want that which is pure. And so God began to deal with this in my life, and we begin to yield these areas to the Lord so he can begin to refine us in those things. But God is involved with every temptation the devil comes and throws your way. God is involved. He says, I will not allow you. So that tells us that God's involved. He's not telling Satan you can just decimate this person. He's saying there's only going to be so much. He said, I'm not going to give you more than what you can stand up under. It's not going to be something that everybody else hasn't gone through. But we are going to test you in this. But I'll provide a way out to see if you will walk uprightly in the midst of the temptation. And that's the test, to walk uprightly in the midst of temptation. So listen, when the devil comes to tempt you, understand that a lot of times God allows this stuff. Amen? A lot of times God allows the temptations. Now, not all the time. And this doesn't mean that we just run into temptation and say, oh, praise God. Yeah. Listen. You go up to Oklahoma and you go into that gambling casino and you're a fool. Yeah? If you think that while you're in the midst of all that temptation, that, oh, praise God, God led me here. No, let's just call a spade and say, I just was sinful and I just wanted to cater to flesh and greed. And I fell into temptation. Okay, we're not going to say the Spirit of God led me there. Okay, but there are times that the Spirit of God will allow us to be in this environment or this situation where we are tempted by the devil, but God is there. But it's all for this purpose of refining and testing who we are so that we can then walk with him down in the future in those events in which he says, I have established this in your life for this purpose. Now go and do who you are. The Israelites were people who continually were faced with, do we trust God or not? And they failed the test, you know, so consistently when they were in the wilderness to the point that when they had the opportunity to possess what God said to possess, because their hearts had never been refined, because they continued to want to go back. And I would say, because the Israelites or the Hebrew people always were living in the past, we want to go back to Egypt. They were never living on that which is present and alive. They were living on memories of the past. And so whenever testing or temptation came their way, they would just go back. Yeah, in their heart, they would just go back there. And so we will quit with this. Satan comes and tempts Jesus in Matthew 4. And I'll leave this verse for you to ponder this week. And the devil comes to Jesus and he says, you know, if you're the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. And we immediately think in terms of manna, and Jesus talks about the bread of life, and he is the bread of life, he says. But Jesus answered, he says, it is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Listen. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the word of God, from the mouth of God. Man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes, present tense, for every word that comes from the mouth of God. That means that we can't go back and listen and live on what God spoke yesterday. Hear me on this. We can't live on what God spoke yesterday because it's moldy stuff. Jesus says, we live every word that comes, present tense, from the mouth of God. As soon as we forget to come into the presence of God and hear His word for us today, we begin living and feasting on maggot-filled, moldy bread that does not really impress anybody. Amen?
Amen.
So this is why it's so important for us to spend time every day with God. It's not so that God gives us stuff. It's our life depends upon God, us hearing God's voice and what He speaks for us today. So I don't want us to be a people, I don't want to be a person who lives on last week's bread. I want the living word that is spoken today in my life. Amen? You know, when we open up the Bible, you know, we often use this Jesus' quote there as to take it that he's talking about the word of God. Well, he's talking about the word of God that comes today. The Pharisees had the word of God. And they opened it up and they lived on this stuff. And Jesus said, you missed it. Now what was going on is they were just reading the words and they made a system of how to live our life based on this, but they weren't hearing the word of God that comes to them daily. And sometimes it comes through the word. But God speaks into our life. But listen, If we don't have that revelation that God speaks today, here's what tends to happen. And you see this all the time. Individuals and churches who have a revelation at one point and they live on that revelation and it just stays right there and they stay on this revelation, before long it becomes institutionalized. And Christianity becomes, or the church then becomes an institution. It has no life. It's just an institution. It's brick and mortar type stuff. It's a building. And a lot of people equate Christianity with a building. When you say we're going to go to church, what do you think of instinctively? A location. Well, you know, this is no more a church in the sense of this is where God is, because God goes with us. Amen? And so he's not confined to the four walls of a building. And so, but anybody who hears the word of God spoken to him on a daily basis, Christianity ceases to be institutionalized and Christianity becomes an organism. It's something that is a living, breathing thing because it's our life. And so, as Jesus says to the devil, he says, listen, yeah, I don't need this bread just to eat. He says, because that physical bread, he says, but what really gives life is every word that comes forth from the mouth of God. And it's present tense. It's it's the present participle, okay? And a present participle in the Greek just simply means it has continuous, ongoing action. It doesn't have a definitive there, it's then, and it's done. But it's a continuous action all the time. So God's word for your life must be fresh every day. And so it's important for us then, as God's people, to come into his presence and say, God, I want your word for me today. Now you can write that down with the pen that you loaned me, Molly. Okay? So let's pray. God, we would come and we thank you that you are with us this day. Thank you for your spirit that's doing some real neat things within our lives. And God, I would just thank you right now that you are speaking your word to individuals and they're hearing some things. But later this afternoon and this evening, Lord, you know, we're not just going to go home and just chill out and do nothing, but we're going to be tuning our ears to hear your voice. So, Lord, as we go home and we still ourselves and we open up your word and we read and we converse with you, Lord, give us ears. Yeah, let us not just always talk to you. Let us listen. And in those listening moments, give us grace to hear your words for us today. Lord, when we wake up in the morning and we come before you and we spend time with you, I ask for grace to be given to us to listen, to hear your words spoken to us for this day. That we would be a people who live on the fresh words that come daily from your mouth to our heart. Lord, we do not want to be a people who live on stale bread. We want the fresh bread that comes every day. We thank you for your promise to us that you will speak your words into our life. So let us hear, Lord, not only today, but tomorrow and each day of the next week. In Jesus' name we thank you for your living word. Amen and amen. Let's stand, shall we? And we're going to give glory to the Lord Jesus Christ because he is a God who saves us. Not just once, but every day he comes and saves us. We need his salvation. So salvation comes. All glory to Jesus. Here we go.